Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
So we were actually supposed to record yesterday morning, but we delayed it to today. And it's a good thing that we delayed it to today because I had something all planned for the beginning of the episode, but then something happened yesterday which usurped that.
Usurp. I love the vocabulary. You're digging deep in your vocabulary bag for that one.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
Okay, Skip, so today we're going to talk about rewatchable movies, and we'll explain what that is in a moment. But before we get to that, you know how our last episode we talked about Canadian baseball players. What we didn't talk about are Canadian baseball managers. And the reason we didn't talk about it is because there hasn't been a Canadian baseball manager in our lifetime.
I was just about to say, I don't think there has ever been one. Is there ever?
There has been in like 1934 or something was the last Canadian baseball manager. So not in our lifetime.
Right.
But I don't know if you know, the Phillies fired their manager and the guy that replaced him, Rob Thompson, is Canadian. And the Phillies are now on an 8-game winning streak with Rob Thompson. So there is now a Canadian baseball manager.
Okay, well, add him to the list, or like
we can start. Well, he's not a player, but still, it's pretty cool that there hasn't been one in our lifetime, and now there is. And they were on a crazy losing streak before he got hired, and now they're on a crazy winning streak since he got hired. So you might have to concur that he's part of the reason why they're doing so well. Now, this guy's been in baseball for many, many years, but he's never been a manager of a team.
If we wait 75 years, we could do an episode on like our top 7 Canadian managers. Maybe we'll get to 7. We'll have 7.
Maybe we can only do top 2. I don't know that we'll be able to do 7.
But there's been a bunch of high profile firings, right? Girardi got fired by the Phillies.
Right.
Joe Maddon got fired. That guy's the most overrated. I mean,
I think they're all overrated.
Yeah. The Bruins fired their coach, Bruce Cassidy.
Right.
I don't know if you saw.
And
Quinn Snyder voluntarily left the Utah Jazz. Like he just said, I think it's time for me to leave. Yeah. And then the manager who should be fired is Tony La Russa.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned this.
He's not going to get fired. But
yes, he should be fired for the move he made the other day.
Yeah.
And his response in the post-game press conference also was very rude, but no surprise, really.
Just to tell people in case they don't know what happened, but there was a one ball, two strike count on Trey Turner, and then he decided to then, and actually there was a wild pitch, so the runner advanced, which is what prompted the move.
Right.
So he then with two strikes on Trey Turner, he's like, yeah, let's intentionally walk him to get to Max Muncy, and then Max Muncy hit a home run. I don't know, I never heard of an intentional walk with two strikes. Like if you wanted to intentionally walk him, like two strikes, like You could pitch around him at that point. You could try to get him to swing at something bad. Like, you don't have to just put him on base. And his answer was so dumb. He made everybody feel stupid. He's like, raise your hand if you think... Who here thinks that was a bad move? And I don't know. I would have raised my hand.
You know? Yeah, he said, is that an actual question?
Yeah, he's so arrogant. I mean, he deserves... He can be arrogant because he's been managing for, like, forever since... When did he start managing? The early 80s, right? So
I know. Like you said once, if you look up dinosaur in the dictionary, there's a picture of him.
It's really quite sad. Yeah. I mean, it's time to move on. Baseball is changed. Baseball needs to change more than any other sport. And they got to get these guys out of there so that if the sport's going to survive, you know?
And by the way, the White Sox were supposed to be a good team. And I think they're hovering around 500. So maybe he should get fired. Yeah. I don't know.
Mailbag.
So do you have any listener mail from our last episode?
I do have one short one from our friend Derek. Apparently Canadian baseball players is not such a hot topic that people are going to write into us.
Okay.
Derek liked our whole list. He agreed with pretty much everything. The only thing he just wanted to mention, Denny Boucher, which we both had in like our honorable mentions.
Right.
Do you remember, did you go to Denny Boucher's first start as an Expo? Did you go to that game?
I don't know if I went to his first start, but I think I went to one of his starts with you, in fact. I don't know if it was his
first
one.
Well, I remember going to that game, and I told Derek that we went to the game together. Like, I know he was there. So I just remember, like, we used to go to like a million Expos games, pay $5 for a ticket, sit wherever we wanted. The stadium was empty. We would park. We knew all the parking spaces. And then all of a sudden, this one game, you couldn't get parking. The place was packed. I remember we parked in some kind of auxiliary parking place and walked 6 miles into the stadium.
It was annoying.
Do you remember Michael Farber sat like right near us? And we were sitting up with an ex-sport, very famous sports writer, even writes for Sports Illustrated. He was sitting right near us, and we were sitting like in way high up seats. So it was kind of crazy.
Yes, it was. It's funny how we were annoyed by that. Like, all we want is for the team to do well and for them to draw a lot of fans at the time. That's what we wanted. And it finally happens, and we were annoyed because we had nowhere to sit and nowhere to park.
So true. So true. So, yeah, I mean, Denny Boucher, but I mean, he wasn't a favorite. He was just...
He was just a guy. Popular.
He's just a guy. Yeah, just a guy. So we're going to do rewatchable movies, Josh. And, like, can I try to give the definition and you can...
Yes, well, it is your topic, so you should give the description, please.
So, it's like 11 o'clock at night, you're at home, you're sitting on the couch, you start flipping through the channels, and then on comes this movie, whatever movie's on. And this is the movie, like, no matter how many times you've seen it, if you're flipping through the dial, you're going to watch it again. Like, it's like you can't stay away from it. If it's on, you're going to watch it.
Except let me and just say one thing.
Yeah.
The action you just described about sitting around and flipping through the dial, that doesn't happen to me anymore. Like, that used to happen to me.
Yeah.
But I don't do that anymore because, well, A, there's too many channels. And B, I rarely watch regular television live. The only thing I'll watch regular television that I've recorded. So this phenomenon, if you want to call it that, doesn't even happen anymore.
No, this phenomenon is for old people, like our age or older even.
Right.
The new generation, they're not going to even understand this concept because everything is on demand. So you're only going to watch a movie when you decide, I'm going to watch this movie. And you're going to have to make the decision, I'm going to watch this movie again because I've seen it before, but I'm going to watch it again. Not just because it's being served to you and it's on.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. So, so that's the definition. I texted you yesterday. This was one of the most difficult lists I've had to make since we've been doing the lists.
Really?
I don't know how hard it was for you, but...
I mean, I had about, I don't know, 14 or 15 different movies, and I had to cut it down to 7, which wasn't too difficult to do. Maybe ranking them was a little bit challenging. I don't know.
Yeah, I have like 15 to 18, and I think... all of them could have been in the top 7. Everything I have in my honorable mentions could easily slide in or slide out. And I really had to make some very, very difficult decisions. And I actually had my wife really help me with the list because she knows. She knows what I'm watching, right? She knows. She's like, well, this has to be because if this is on, you're going to watch it. Like she told me, if this is on, you're going to watch it. So I had made an original list and she's like, no, you should change it. And she gave me advice on my own watching habits. So it was ordering it, making the order and cutting it to 7 was like very, very difficult. So I do have a whole bunch of honorable mentions, but I'm going to save them for the end. I'm not going to give any spoilers at the beginning.
Okay. That's fine.
And actually as I went through this list, there was a lot of movies that were in our favorite movies of the 80s. podcast. We did that one already once.
Mm-hmm.
So there was quite a few that were mentioned at that time. So apologies if I'm repeating myself, but obviously they're still my favorites, not just of the 80s, but, you know, of ever. So.
Okay. Yeah. I have some movies that we've mentioned on previous episodes as well.
Number 7.
So I'm going to start with number 7. Well, you know, this is like one of my favorite movies of all time. It's the movie that I can say with honesty that I've seen The Princess Bride over 100 times.
I was going to guess that.
I mean, you probably thought this was going to be number one. But I really, really tried to make some criteria of like, first of all, it has to be on TV a lot. It has to be a movie that cable channels are showing. And Princess Bride is not always on TV as much as others, right? So, yeah. I mean, I've seen it like the most of any movie I've ever seen. It's the definition of a cult classic. It has this rabid following. And I love to watch it. Like, there's specific scenes that if it's on, I'm gonna be like, I'm just gonna watch like certain scenes. Like, this movie I've seen it so many times that it's like, it's in danger of coming out of this list because I've seen it too many times. Right?
Inconceivable.
But I still felt like it needed to be mentioned, so that's why it came in at number 7.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen that movie, not once.
Oh my god.
Like, unless I Google it, I couldn't even tell you who's in it.
The main character is Carrie Elwes and Robin Wright, who was also one time Robin Wright Penn. She was married to Sean Penn at one time. Mandy Patinkin is in this movie, but he's very young. Yeah, and then there's guest appearances, like Billy Crystal has a small part, and Fred Savage, who at the time was like a kid, you know, from the Wonder Years, he's also... But it's not your style of movie, so you wouldn't even like it.
If it's on and I'm flipping around, maybe I'll stop and watch.
Okay. All right. So I can't wait to hear yours. I really don't know what movies I'm going to hear from you.
I think you won't be surprised, I don't think, by most of these. But number 7 for me is a movie that we've talked about, I think, several times, Almost Famous. It's a relatively new movie. It's the last 20 years. Of course, it stars Kate Hudson, Jason Lee, Zooey Deschanel. But this is like... I think this movie epitomizes this category that we're doing, because if I'm flipping around and it comes on, there are specific parts that I really love that I really want to watch, you know, and I'll watch multiple times, especially the scene in the bus where they start singing the Elton John song. That's like, could be the best scene of the whole movie.
Yeah. When in the bus, when they're singing Tiny Dancer, that's what everybody wants to see. And the lead up to that too, when he's on the top of the roof and he's like, I am a golden god, you know, like he jumps in the pool. Yeah, that's a great pick. I actually didn't have it in my honorable mentions, and I think it should have been. So good pick for you.
Number 6.
So my number 6, I know it's not on your list, and I don't even know if you've ever seen it. It's from 1963.
Oh, interesting.
So it's an old movie.
Okay.
And it's The Great Escape. Have you ever seen this movie?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it's with Steve McQueen. It's a huge ensemble cast, right? Steve McQueen, James Garner, Charles Bronson. Like, there's all these movie actors from the 60s and 70s that are famous, right? And it's like, you never saw this movie?
No.
So it's about like these allied, World War II. So these allied soldiers, American, British, Australian, you know, they're in a prisoner of war camp in Germany, and it's all about how they're trying to escape. So apparently it's based on a true story, because it doesn't have the happiest of ending. So it sort of ends like I think how it really ended, although I'm sure all the events in the movie are not true, you know, it's dramatized. I found out about this movie because when I was in camp, when I was like a teen, we used to have movie night like every once a week, or maybe twice, once a every 2 weeks, I don't know. And then one time, like, when I was, it's so like mid-80s, they decided to show this movie, and all the campers were like, what is this movie? But then as soon as you start to watch it, you realize this is a great movie, right? Even me at 14 knew this was a great movie. So it's funny because it's been on TV on different movie channels the last like few years. I think I've seen it like 5 times in the last few years. I watch it every time it's on. And, you know, my son is doing film studies in school, and he had to do a paper on a movie that was before 1979. Like, they had a cutoff date. And I was like, why don't you do it on The Great Escape? But I don't think he did. But I recommended him to do that movie. So
this is very interesting for a couple of reasons. So last episode, we had a lot of different names of baseball players that were the same. Of course, there weren't that many to choose from. On this episode, I don't know if we're going to have any movies the same.
I'm looking at the rest of my list, and I think there's only one possibility. Right. And I really don't think any of them are going to... I really think that's a long shot.
Right, exactly. You know? I don't think they're going to be any the same. However, the interesting thing is, the movie you just mentioned at number 6 is from 1963. The movie I have at number 6 is also from 1963. Like, what are the chances of that? By the way, the listeners don't know, we don't discuss this in advance. Like, I don't divulge my list to you. You don't divulge your list to me. So the fact that we both have a movie from 1963 at number 6 on our list, and it's not the same movie, is kind of ridiculous.
So what is it?
It's A Mad, 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 Mad World. You know that I love this movie.
Yeah, you do.
And speaking of casts, I mean, listen to just some of the people who are in this movie. Spencer Tracy, Sid Caesar, Phil Silvers, Mickey Rooney, Buddy Hackett. I mean, the list goes on. I just named you those. So yeah. This movie, and it's a long movie too. It's like, I think 3 hours almost. So when it comes on, it's a big investment, especially if it's on one of those channels that has commercials, because then you're in it for like the whole weekend. Yeah. But I love this movie. And anytime it's on, I just eat it up. I used to have it on my PVR because I recorded it once, but then I had to get a new PVR and now I don't have it on my PVR anymore. So I'm kind of upset. So now I'm waiting for it to come back on again.
I wonder if it's available on a streaming, but those movies are not as... Anyways, yeah. Interesting. Very, very interesting, Josh. I've only seen that movie maybe once, or I don't think I've ever seen it in full. Like, I've never seen the movie, like, I've never sat down and watched it from start to finish, but I've seen millions of bits and pieces of it over the years.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, like, we have a famous What Bugs Me segment, and the sound clip that I use is from that movie.
So how could I not include it in our list, in my list?
Right.
You're kidding me? Boy, are you bugging me, man? I'm getting bugged now. Whoa, man.
Number 5.
All right, so number 5, Josh. 1988. The first movie that I ever saw in the movie theater twice.
Okay.
And that's Die Hard.
Who are you, then?
Just a fly in the ointment, Hans. The monkey in the wrench. The pain in the ass.
Ah, good one.
Right? Bruce Willis. It's the movie that propelled Bruce Willis from being a TV star in Moonlighting to an action star on the big screen. And like I said, it's the first movie that I ever like saw twice in the movie theater. I went to see it with friends and I ate it up. And then another friend came back from a trip and I'm like, let's go see Die Hard. And he's like, but you already saw it. I'm like, I don't care. Let's go see it again. So it was rewatchable from the start. You know, like even from the start in my mind, right?
That's great.
You know, there's this debate. Well, it's not really a debate. It's just one of these internet stupidities where it's like, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? And I'm like, I don't care if it's a Christmas movie or not. They show it at Christmas. Every year it's on at Christmas and we watch it every year at Christmas. Like it's going to be on. I'm going to watch it. And I actually know every line in the movie. I know the whole thing off by heart. It's absolutely astonishing. Like I know way too much about Die Hard than I should. I watched a documentary about like the making of.
Yeah.
This movie. They didn't want to have Bruce Willis. They took him off the movie poster when it was about to come out. The movie the studio thought it was gonna bomb and they took him off the poster because they were like, no one's gonna take this seriously because he wasn't the Bruce Willis that we know now. He was the comedian from Moonlighting, you know? So but then right away, like after the first like week or the first few days, it was so getting so popular that they redid the poster with his face back on it.
That's a lot of work. Okay. So I am at number 5. And This is also from the 1980s. And I love this movie and I will watch it anytime it's on. And you're not going to be surprised. It's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
This is one of my favorite movies of all time. I love everything about it. I love when he goes to the baseball game. I love when he's like in the parade. And there's so many times where Ferris almost gets caught, but he doesn't. It's phenomenal. It's just a phenomenal movie. It's, of course, directed by John Hughes. Matthew Broderick, Mia Sara, and Jennifer Grey are in it, as well as Charlie Sheen.
He comes in at the end, right?
Yes, when she's in the police station. He's only in for one scene.
I love the scene in the restaurant where they're like trying to get into this fancy restaurant.
Yeah.
He's like, don't you know this is the Sausage King or whatever? Like it's
yeah,
so
yeah, the
it's
Sausage
so
King
funny.
Of Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great movie.
Number 4.
Number 4, I'm going to stay with the 80s. Josh, man, this is really an 80s podcast now. You know I love the movie Top Gun.
I didn't know that. Are you going to go see the new Top Gun?
I did see it. We went last week.
Already?
Yeah, we went like the first week it was out.
Is it the same just movie, just with, you know, better graphics?
A lot the same. Yeah. A lot the same. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's still, it's like look, if you like the it's funny because I would say, like, if you like the first one, go see the second one for sure. So I love Top Gun. So I was like, it's a no-brainer that I'm going to go see the new Top Gun movie. But my daughter's friend came over and we told her like, oh, we're going to see Top Gun tonight. She's like, oh, I went to see it with my whole family and we all loved it. I'm like, did you ever see the first Top Gun? She's like, no. So apparently, like, even for younger people, it's still like a cool movie to go see. I would recommend the new one. The new one's a great movie. Don't you remember I had the poster of Top Gun in my room?
Now that you mention it, yes.
But I had the soundtrack. I just love the whole thing. I love everything about it. The theme song, the music. They have as soon as the music started to play in the new one when I was in the theater, I was like, oh my God, this is it. I was like, I was freaking out.
So Tom Cruise is in both of them, the new and the old. Yeah. But is he the only one that's in both of them?
Well, no. Val Kilmer has like a small part in the new one. Kelly McGillis is not in the new movie at all.
But isn't she kind of important in the old one?
She's very important, but she's just not there. But I mean, it's supposed to be like all this time has actually gone by, right? He's like,
oh, so it's not the same. It's like it's not the same movie. It's like a part two.
It's like a part two, but like
I thought it was just a remake of the old one.
No. But it's like a part two, but it's like 35 years later or whatever. Like, he's the same character who's like at the end of his career now. Val Kilmer is like the admiral of the Navy, you know, like he's got this big position, you know, like, and then, well, you've seen Top Gun, right?
I think so. Maybe once. I don't really, I mean, I.
Anyways, I won't get into spoilers, but like, you know, his partner Goose in the first movie, Anthony
Edwards. Yeah.
So he dies, right? So he dies in the first movie. I'm not giving spoilers to that because the movie came out in 1986. But the actor Miles Teller plays Goose's son in this movie. He plays the son of
Tom the character Goose. Okay. Gotcha.
Of Tom Cruise's partner who died, you know, in the first movie. So yeah, anyways, Top Gun, I loved the first Top Gun and I would recommend for people to go see the other one. And if you can go see it in the theater, you should, because it's the way it's filmed is incredible. Like, we're all numb to action movies and scenes with planes and spaceships and fights. They're all 3D effects, and it's actually, when I watch like the Marvel movies, those are the most boring parts, you know, when they have these big fight scenes and whatever. But this movie and the original Top Gun, it's not like that, right? Because it's filmed like real. It looks everything is like very real. Like, most of the scenes are like the guys in the cockpit, you know, so you feel like the intensity of what they're doing, you know. I can't describe it. It's like you kind of have to see it to have that feeling, because it's not filmed like any other movie that you've seen. And the original Top Gun was also filmed in that way.
Okay, so next for me is from 1993. And it's funny because we talk about rewatchable movies.
Mm-hmm.
My movie is Groundhog Day, which, if you've watched it, it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. So if you're going to watch the movie over again, if you've watched it twice, it's really like you've watched it 18 times.
It's more than that. Yeah.
Right.
Groundhog Day is actually a really good movie. I could have made my honorable mentions. Maybe should have. It's hysterical and funny. And I mean,
so
Bill Murray's great.
So my favorite character in the movie, and I just discovered this today, actually. My favorite character is Ned Flanders. You know Ned Flanders from the movie.
Sure,
he's the insurance guy.
Yeah.
So I've known that he's my favorite character, but what I didn't know is the actor, Stephen Tobolowsky, is Principal Ball from The Goldbergs. I didn't even know that till today.
Yeah, but he's in a lot of stuff, that guy, right?
He is, but still, I didn't discover that until today.
Good pick, Josh.
Everything comes back to The Goldbergs in the end.
It does, actually, because the old Goldbergs is in the 80s, so it should.
Yeah.
Number three.
So, no surprise, Josh. Field of Dreams.
Okay.
I had in my honorable mentions Field of Dreams, The Sandlot, Bull Durham, and The Natural. And I had a very, very hard time thinking who could make the top seven, which one deserved it. All four kind of do deserve it, but then it's just going to be a baseball movie list. So I kind of just picked one, even though it was unfair to the others. But doesn't mean it's the best, because we did another podcast where I've already told you that Bull Durham is my favorite baseball movie.
Right.
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 But doesn't mean that it's the most rewatchable. Field of Dreams is so absurd. You have to like suspend all logic when you're watching Field of Dreams. You know, the guy builds a baseball field in his cornfield, and then dead ghosts of dead players come and play, right? Like, this is nuts. And then, you know, he goes to Boston and he meets the famous writer and kidnaps him, and like the Moonlight. Whole thing is just wild.
Moonlight Graham.
No, then they meet Moonlight Graham. Like, my favorite scene in the whole movie is when the young Moonlight Graham, who's playing the game, has to cross the baseline into foul territory, into the stands, so to speak. And then he turns into the old Moonlight Graham, who's a doctor.
Right.
So he could attend to the young girl who's choking on a hot dog.
Yes.
Yeah, I just love Field of Dreams. I love the whole thing. I loved it when it came out in 89. I still love it today, and I'll watch it whenever it's on. My wife is sick of the movie because we watched it so many times.
Okay, so number three for me. This is the one that I think might be on your list, that we might have the same. I'm going to give it away. We did an entire episode about this movie. It's called Love Actually from 2003.
Oh my God. It should be in the list. I feel bad that I didn't include it.
Well,
it's like, it's funny when you try to make the list, you forget about stuff. But I think it did deserve to make my list. You're absolutely right. I mean, I only watch it once a year, which is at Christmas, right? So
right, but it is a totally rewatchable movie because, you know, it's got different scenes, and you and I, we've gone over all the different scenes and our favorite scenes, and so you know what's coming up, you know what's about to happen, and you're like, so you can't, you're sitting there with anticipation. So it's the perfect movie to rewatch. You know, I'll just list off some of the famous actors and actresses in the movie: Hugh Grant, Keira Knightley, Emma Thompson, Laura Linney, and of course I can't leave out Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah, she's a small part, but right. Yes. I think because it's like one of these ensemble cast type of movies with multiple stories going on at once, it helps the rewatchable effect, don't you think? Like,
right, because then you can rewatch just a certain portion of it. You don't have to rewatch the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, like I really love the Hugh Grant parts, and I really love the... Well, we went over this. We did a whole episode.
Yes, people, yes. We're not going to rehash the whole thing.
Movie.
You could put a link to that episode in the show notes of this episode.
I will.
Number two.
So number two for me, Josh, staying in the 80s, and that's The Untouchables.
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
This is like one of my favorite movies ever.
Yes, you've mentioned this, yes.
Sean Connery and Kevin Costner. I just love this movie. There's this very, very dramatic score, the music behind the whole thing. There's some crazy scenes, especially the scene in the train station with the baby carriage. Like, I could watch that over and over and over. And of course, you know, Robert De Niro plays Al Capone, the most famous mob boss. Mm-hmm. And he's got some great scenes. You know, he smashes some guy's head with a baseball bat. And it's very graphic in a way for what it was. I just love The Untouchables. Just like, it can't get enough of it. And it's, to me, it's like the perfect rewatchable movie.
The closer we get to number one, the more I think we're not going to have any movies the same.
Well, we're not going to, because I know you don't have my number one.
So number two for me, I know it's not on your list because of what your last movie was, is Bull Durham from 1988.
Well, like I said, it could have made my list, right? I kind of chose one.
I mean, I love this movie. I'll watch it anytime it's on. Sometimes it's even on the MLB Network when I used to have the MLB Network. So, of course, Tim Robbins, Kevin Costner, Susan Sarandon. But it's great. And like, again, it's one of those movies where, because I've seen it so many times, you know what's about to happen. And even though you know what's about to happen, you're still going to stay there and watch it because you want to see it happen. It's just great. It's just so great.
Yeah.
Very well done. The movie was very, very well done.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's just a classic, honestly, especially if you're a baseball fan. But what makes Bull Durham so great compared to some of the other sports movies is that you don't necessarily have to be a huge baseball fan to appreciate everything that the movie is, right?
That's absolutely true.
Obviously it helps, but you know, it's more about like the minor league life.
Excuse me, what the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nuke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Well, candlesticks always make a nice gift, and maybe you can find out where she's registered, maybe a place setting or maybe a silverware pattern. Okay, let's get to it. Here we go.
But they also do a good job of explaining the game without explaining the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the parts where, you know, Kevin Costner tells the batter which pitch is about to come and the batter hits it out.
Yeah, anything traveling that fast ought to have a stewardess on it.
You can't use that term anymore.
No, you can't. You're right.
Number one.
All right. So I'm at number one. I'm not in the 80s for number one, Josh. This is 2002. But actually, of course, because you know the number one rule of our podcast, you know what it is. Our show, our rules.
Right.
So actually.
Oh, I know what you're going to do. You're going to pull something that your wife would do and pick two movies.
Three.
You see, you do this all the time. So it's very frustrating because I picked seven. You're going to have picked, what, nine now for this. And there are other episodes where you've done this before.
Yeah. Well, okay. So my number one is The Bourne Identity. But to be fair, I wanted to include the three movies, The Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy, Bourne Ultimatum, because it's kind of one big thing. But if you pin me down and said which one, it's the first one, The Bourne Identity from 2002. And of course, I mean, you've seen these movies before.
No? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So Matt Damon, he's some kind of super spy assassin who doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know his actual identity. So hence The Bourne Identity. This is movies on TV a lot.
It is.
It is. Even you know it is.
It is, yeah.
And somehow, whenever it's on, I'm like, oh, The Bourne Identity's on. I'm like, I'm just sitting there watching it. Bourne Supremacy's on. Oh, look. Then my wife comes down. Which one is this? I'm like, oh, this is the second one. I have to explain to her. Because they all blend in. I'm like, right. Actually, you know. And I just love the whole thing. Like, there's some incredible scenes in the first movie, especially like when they're in that. The house in France, and then they're in the field, and they send one assassin to kill him. Like, I could watch that field over and over and over. The third movie is kind of known as the worst one, but there's one scene in the train station in London that, like, I can't get enough of. Like, if the ultimatum's on, I'm going to just watch the scene in the London train station. And, of course, you know, it has Moby's theme song.
Yes, yes, it's great. I can hear it playing in my head right now.
Yeah, and you know, the song's actually called Extreme Ways, but like it comes on at the end of every movie, right at the end when there's some kind of revelation, you know, like you hear the song come on and it perfectly fits the movie. And anyways, that's the Bourne Identity series that I love.
So I'm very surprised. You said about 2 minutes ago that there's no chance we have the same number one. We don't have the same number one because I didn't pick this movie.
Oh my God, thank God.
But you don't understand because I just barely, Bourne Identity was number eight on my list. I just had to cut it because it didn't make the top seven, but it was very close to being in my list. And you completely dismissed it that I wouldn't have it on my list.
Very, very fair.
You don't know me as well as you think you do.
No, I don't know what's going to be number one. I have a feeling. Could I guess what your number one is?
Please go ahead.
Is it from the 90s?
Yes.
Is it The Usual Suspects?
No, but that's a good guess.
Oh, shoot.
So,
I thought I had it.
I mean, similar to Bourne Identity, it's not, the movie is not similar to Bourne Identity, but this movie's on TV all the time.
So what is it?
Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, I mean, I had Shawshank in my top seven, and then my wife told me that I should take it out and put, she's like, no, Die Hard has to be in.
Who am I doing the show with, you or your wife? Who's my co-host, you or your wife?
It's a good question.
So anyway, let me just say something about Shawshank Redemption and Bull Durham. Both of them have Tim Robbins in them. And when I was making the list, I didn't even realize this. Like, that's not why I included them. It just so happened by fluke that the same actor appears in my number one and my number two movie.
Right.
But
I mean, Shawshank, it's
Oh, it's a great movie. You know exactly what's about to happen, and yet you still want to watch it. That's the perfect definition of this category.
You know the scene where he's escaped? Like, the alarms are sounding. Everyone's looking for him. They come into his room. It's empty. They're like, I swear he was here. He disappeared. And then the warden, like, just angrily, like, pulls down the poster of the movie poster that he has. And then they find the tunnel that he's been making for 3 years or whatever it is. You know? Yeah. That reveal is, like, unbelievable.
I want him found. Not tomorrow, not after breakfast, now. Man up and vanish like a fart in the wind. Nothing left but some damn rocks on the windowsill. And that cupcake on the wall. Let's ask her. Maybe she knows. What say you there, fussy britches? Feel like talking? This is a conspiracy. That's what this is. One big damn conspiracy! And everyone's in on it! Including her.
A great movie.
It is a great movie.
All right. I want to give you some of my honorable mentions because I really had a hard time making seven, right? So Shawshank was in my list. I have also The Da Vinci Code, which has been on TV a lot, and somehow we always find ourselves watching it. Star Wars, episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Never heard of it. One.
Rocky. But specifically, Rocky 2 or 4 are my favorites.
Never seen any of them.
I know. The Fugitive?
Oh, that's good. I should have had that in my list.
Yeah. I mentioned Bull Durham, The Sandlot, The Natural. Harry Potter, but only the last two movies. The part one and part two, the finales. Those are good. North by Northwest, an Alfred Hitchcock movie from like the 60s. And then also James Bond, Daniel Craig or Sean Connery. If those are on, I'll probably be watching. I mean, I know them all off by heart, to be honest. I've seen every Bond movie 60 times.
Did you see the most recent one that came out in December?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like it. I think it's the worst of the Daniel Craig ones.
So. Okay. So my honorable mentions in no particular order: Risky Business, Youngblood, Singles, Reality Bites, Born Identity, Goodfellas, Before Sunrise, A Few Good Men, Weekend at Bernie's, I think your wife would approve, Taken, Ghostbusters, and Back to the Future.
Taken is an interesting one because it's on TV a lot, right?
And there's Taken 2, which it's not called that, but...
No, and there's 3, I think, also.
I think so, yeah.
Well, there's probably 4, 5, and 6 that we don't even know about. Who knows? Well, he makes all these movies. They seem all to be the same. They always seem the same, Liam Neeson. He makes a million action movies that I don't know one from the other.
Right.
Those are good. Those are good. Obviously, Before Sunrise is huge. I love that movie. It's not on TV enough to call it a rewatchable for me. But yeah, I like all those picks. Reality Bites, great, great choice. I mean, I approve of mostly pretty much everything there. So, like I said, it's a hard category, right? Like it's... not easy to get it to 7.
Right. I had at least double.
The Skip and Josh podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. If you listen to the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. To interact with the show, send an email to skipandjoshshow@gmail.com. Follow the show on Twitter and go to Facebook to like the show page. And now for some final thoughts from the guys.
I want to talk about something that I know is going to annoy you.
Uh-oh.
Well, I suspect it's going to annoy you.
So this is new. You're giving me a what bugs me.
Right. I'm pretty sure it bugs you. You just haven't mentioned it.
Okay.
So how do I broach the subject without telling you what it is? You talked about this. I don't know if it was on our show, but you definitely talked about this a year ago or maybe 18 months ago. And now here it is resurfacing. Do you remember when you told me how annoyed you were when the Montreal soccer team changed their name and changed their logo, and the logo, they spent all kinds of money to have this marketing agency to design the logo, and it's basically just a snowflake and your daughter could have done it? Do you remember telling me this?
100%. The logo could be done by a sixth grader.
So I'm sure you heard, I think 2 weeks ago, that the Montreal soccer team next season will have yet another new logo, and it's almost the same as their previous logo.
Yeah, they're like, they realized that their rebrand was no good, and now they're kind of walking it back without trying to say we screwed up, you know, like.
Right. So I don't know how much money they spent on this one, but
who knows?
It's a little bit better than the current one, but I think this is just a money grab, because now fans, you know, there are those diehard fans who need to have the most up-to-date jersey and everything, right, for their favorite team.
Yeah.
For their favorite team. And so now, even though this season isn't anywhere near being over, they know they're going to have a new logo next year.
And you know how we talk about, like, the Washington football team, I still call them the Redskins, and the Cleveland Indians, I still call them the Indians. What are they called? The Guardians?
Yeah.
Teams like this. There's other situations like this. I still call them the Montreal Impact. I don't know anybody who calls them Montreal FC.
Well, like, it's actually, it's not Montreal FC. It's CF Montreal.
Yeah, yeah. It's Club de Foot, you know, de Montréal. Yeah, it's kind of, yeah. I mean, still the Montreal Impact, I think, in conversation.
So when I saw that story, I'm like, oh, this is going to bug Skip.
It does. I already knew about this, but I kind of
I knew. I know you knew about it. We just haven't talked about it.
I tried to put it in the back of my mind. I have two things that I want to talk about. You don't watch the show Stranger Things.
I watched season one. That's it.
Okay. So season four is out now.
I can't believe it's still around.
Yeah, it's the most popular show that Netflix has ever produced.
That surprises me.
I read an article that's saying English language, so maybe because Money Heist is more popular, I'm not sure, or shows that are not made in English. But anyways, Stranger Things, they say, is the most popular English language show that Netflix has. So you know the song, you know the song by Kate Bush, Running Up That Hill?
Yes.
Okay, so this was in the 80s, right? We're going back to the 80s again.
Mm-hmm.
So the song is featured in all of season four of Stranger Things. It's in like almost every episode. It's in the show a lot.
Okay.
And because of it, Kate Bush now has her first top 10 hit. It's resurfaced on the charts. It was the second most listened to song on Spotify and Apple Music. Only Harry Styles' new song is number one. Like, it's gotten this whole huge audience because of this show, Stranger Things, which is absolutely incredible.
So you're telling me when the song originally came out, it wasn't a top 10 song?
No, it was like top 40. But, you know, Kate Bush is always was, even back in the 80s, was kind of fringe, right? Like, you know?
Interesting. Yeah. Well, good for her.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And the second thing I want to ask you is, I asked you this the last two times. Did you watch This Is Us? I'm dying to know how you liked it.
So you only asked me once. This is the second time you're asking, not the third, just so everyone's clear. And yes, I did watch the season finale of This Is Us. And as I said,
the series finale, it's the end.
Sorry,
that's
the series
it, right?
Finale. Yes.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned to you, they basically tied everything up in the second to last episode. So the last episode, you know, wasn't bad. It wasn't great. Mm-hmm. But you know, most of the things were tied up in the previous episode. So I think, you know, I didn't have a stopwatch while I was watching it, but most of the last episode was mostly flashbacks. It wasn't new stuff. Okay. So flashbacks that you haven't seen before, because that's how the show is. There's flashbacks in every episode, and flash forwards also sometimes.
I mean, you know, like, a series finale is really hard to do, like, to satisfy. For a really popular show, it's hard to sort of satisfy the viewers, you know, like Seinfeld, Everybody Hates the End, you know, Cheers. Some people like it. What's that show?
MASH. There's tons of shows. The MASH series finale was actually quite good.
Yeah. Lost. I mean, remember the show Lost that had a huge cult following?
I never watched an episode of Lost.
People were losing their mind over the finale. And So, like, do you think that they did a good job of, like, wrapping up and ending the show? Like, are you satisfied?
I think they did do a good job, and I am satisfied because I wasn't, you know, disappointed, you know, watching it or after it was done. I didn't have that feeling that I've had with other series finales. So,
okay, good.
Yeah, they did a good job. It was a good show. I'm glad I watched it for all the years that I watched it.
Right, right. So we started to watch Ozark, the final seven episodes.
Oh, I think I might start that tonight.
Yeah, so we have like a few more to go. I'll be very, very interesting to see how this show ends, right? Like, I'm not really, having watched like the first three or three and a half episodes, like, I'm not sure where it's going, you know? Like, I'm not sure how it's going to end. They could kind of do anything. So it'll be interesting to see like what the hell's going to happen, you know? So
maybe not next episode, but sometime this summer, we'll do an Ozark-only episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's funny because, you know, when we did we did that once for The Americans, right? Yeah. But we mostly talked about the final season. But it's so, like, in Ozark, it's so hard to remember what happened at the beginning.
It really is. And I mean, keep in mind, like, now we have the luxury of when you watch a season of a show, you can watch a full season in like a week.
Yeah.
But imagine back in the day when it took you like 6 months to watch a full season of a show.
Yeah.
How would you remember even the first episode from that season that you watched six months earlier?
Or even worse, how do you remember the first episode of like season one, which you watched 5 years earlier?
Right, right. You know? I'm having the same problem with Better Call Saul, which I started watching the most recent season yesterday.
Because it's been so long since we watched.
Yeah. And there are some characters that came back. I'm like, who are they? Oh, yeah. Now I remember, but it's like, it's not easy to remember and they don't tell you anything. Better Call Saul is similar to Breaking Bad where you have to figure stuff out. It's the weirdest thing.
But it has a huge following, Better Call Saul. Everybody loves it. It's just one of the shows that I feel like I'm probably missed out on by not watching.
That
but
and I'm the too other scared show, to... the other show that you've missed out on is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I know, everybody told me that's good. But the problem is both of those shows have so many seasons that I'm like, I don't know. I'm kind of like, it will take a huge effort to start those, you know?
Right. But I mean, if you do, just focus on one. Don't watch more than one show at a time.
Yeah, I know. Of course. I think I'll probably end up watching one or both of those, like at Christmas time when there's tons of downtime, you know, snow's falling outside and you're just at home and you can't go out. You know?
That's the perfect time to do it.
Yeah. All right, Josh, it was great talking to you. I'm glad we talked about our rewatchable movies, and I'll talk to you next time.
Have a great week.